You know, you listen to those words on the end there, my father's God. You know, you hear people bragging about their daddies all the time. You hear people talking about and bragging about their dad. Man, we've got a dad to brag about.
Amen.
We've got a father that we can flat out brag about.
Amen.
There is none greater than our Father in heaven. There's none greater. Amen.
Amen.
And my Father in heaven will do all in His power for me.
Amen.
All in His power. All in His power for me.
Amen.
Man, if you could get a handle on that. If we could get a little bit of a handle on that. You know, just a little bit. My natural father wouldn't do a tenth of his power for me. A 1% of a thousandth of a percent he wouldn't do for me. But my heavenly father would do all in his power.
Amen.
For me. My son's standing there. I do some for him. Huh? Oh, I'd probably exert maybe 20%. Huh? Maybe a little more. Depends on the circumstance. Huh? He's wishing I'd say 100%. But I got to be honest in the tent, don't I? If I'm outside the tent and I tell a fib, I can ask God to forgive me. In here, I'd have to ask permission. And I don't think He'd give me permission. So I think I'm being generous when I say 20. And you know, at the time, I feel like that's a lot. I feel like that's 100% sometimes. And then when I really look back at it, I go, oh my goodness. Huh? Actually, sometimes I feel like giving 100%. But, you know, feeling like a thing and doing it sometimes isn't always the same thing. Now, Ricky, on the other hand, you know, he always feels like giving me 100%. Huh? Good thing. Good thing Charlie is in New York tonight and can't operate the camera. He'd be zeroing in on Ricky Jr.'s face. And it's a color camera, too, so you get the red real good. Although sometimes on him it comes through blue. Am I embarrassing you, son? I'll keep going.
Hey, man, it's too great.
That's what it's all about, freedom, isn't it? Amen. See, Ricky wants to give me 100% of himself. And sometimes he really feels he does. Don't you? Sometimes he really feels, but you know, I give my father 100%.
I don't know that I put it in those words.
And he just doesn't appreciate me. Don't argue with me, boy. I'm down here. You're up there. And I can change that real quick. Love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God.
See, so when he looks back on it, though, sometimes it was 10% or maybe sometimes even 50%. Of course, I look at it and say, boy didn't even do 1%. But our Heavenly Father wants to give us 100% of Himself and to do 100%, whatever it takes, to bring us home, to bring us into Himself, to give us, to share with us His glory. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, all He asks us in return is to give 100% back. Oh, Lord, I'm giving you 100%. Oh, yeah, it looks like 5% to me from here. You know what it takes to give 100%? Just love Him. Just love Him. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, I decided when I was sitting in that little trailer tonight that I was going to come in this tent, and if there was one person, or if there was 100 person, that's all right. I was just going to love them. I was going to love God and love who's ever in this tent.
Amen.
And give them as much of me as I can give them. Amen.
Amen.
As much as I can give. Because that's what I want from God. I want everything God has. And if He ain't got it, I want Him to create it for me.
Amen.
And He can do it, too.
Amen.
He can do it. Let's sing a song to Him. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, son. Let's keep the music rolling. Give me something there, boy. Let's keep it rolling. I feel good tonight. I feel like praising God a little bit. I feel like chasing off. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all be seated. We'll get up here and I just want to talk about the Lord reigning here for a minute. And I'm not talking about precipitation. I'm talking about rulership, kingship.
Amen.
You know, our God reigns over all things. And He is given. Now, I want to show you something. This God is so cool, man. He is so cool. Because every time I turn around, He's showing me a different angle on the same thing. Amen? Now, Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. And his job was to come down out of heaven to the people on that earth before Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, before it was destroyed. You can read about it in Ezekiel 28, starting, I think, with verse 12 or 13. But Lucifer's job was to come down through the stones of fire on the mountain of God and bring the Word of God, the oracles of God, to the people. Huh? So the authority of God on earth passed through Lucifer. And Lucifer got his head a little bit too big. Or his body got too small. But whatever it was, he got pride. Amen? And when he got pride, God had to put him down. Because God isn't going to share that authority equally. He will delegate authority. But he's not going to give up his authority. Alright, so Lucifer was cast down. And the people were destroyed. And God created the earth again. Alright? But there was something very important there. Who was to take Lucifer's place? It was Adam. Adam was to take Lucifer's place. You see? All right, when Adam took Lucifer's place, as long as Adam did not eat of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, no sin or death could come upon the land. And God knew to do it that way because He knew we couldn't do it ourselves. There's no way I could be sinless before God. There's no way. There's preachers running around here saying, I'm without sin. And they're liars. There's Christians running around out here saying they're without sin. And they're liars. They don't mean to be. They've just been taught wrong. I'm a sinner. You don't believe it? Why am I losing my hair? Why do I have false teeth? Why do my feet stink? It's because I'm a sinner. Well, maybe not the feet stinking. That might be something else. But you see, every man, woman, and child born into this world is a sinner. And I don't understand how Satan's gotten Christians to look at one another and say, I'm better than you, or you're not as good as me. And what's worse, they'll look at the people out there in the street and think they're better than they are. Terrible situation. And God knew that none of us could be saved of ourselves. He knew we couldn't be saved of ourselves. So He set up a plan. And He had Adam as the fall guy. He let Adam be the fall guy. for everybody else. And that when sin came upon all mankind, that had opened the door for God to take the sin away through one man. If it could come in by one man, it could be taken away by one man. See? If he hadn't have set it up that way, John Squires, you would have been accountable for your own salvation and your own lack of sin or something like thereof. And it would have stunk to be you about the time you were 2 years old. It stunk to be me about the time I was 1 and a half. About the first time I back-talked my mama, I'd have been a friend of somebody I didn't want to be friend of. Amen? But because of the grace of God and the love of God, He set it up that if one man could bring the sin in, one man could take it away. And all we had to do is trust what He did. All right. Now here I had to say all that to get to the point where the Lord showed me something neat. After Adam's fall, because remember, Adam was the one that was stood between men and God. Amen? When he fell, there was no one to stand between man and God. So God had his only begotten Son, Jesus, come down. Amen? And as he's walked on this earth in flesh, he stood between man and God, died on the cross, was resurrected, sits at the right hand of the Father, and now, in Jesus Christ, his body, the church, stands between. Isn't that neat? Isn't that cool? His body, the church, stands between God and man. Huh? It just hit me why the church is the salt. Because the salt can be salty enough, it can hold the sin off of the people that they can come forth and be saved. Huh? So why, what would stop that? To keep the church from understanding. To keep the church from knowing what it can do. And the power that the church has. And Satan has gone one step further. It's made the church lose his identity.
Yep.
The church is the body of Christ. Amen? That's a male. But Satan's got the church believing it's a woman. There are men running around this country today. They think they're women. Huh? We call them something. Some people call them all kinds of something. They're just misguided men. They lost their identity. Somebody's got to be able to give them back their identity. How can the church give them back the identity if the church is in the same boat? It can't do it. Why do you think the church is agreeing with all that garbage? But God has showed me, just standing right here, that if we could just shake off this old flesh and stand in Christ by faith, we can hold off the sin in Claremont, push it back, extend the grace, and let the power of God reach out and touch hearts and heal and deliver and raise up, even in the churches. Even in the churches. Did you know when Jesus said to the disciples, go into a town and ask who is worthy? Do you realize, John, I know you realize, you've been with me too long, you ought to realize it, so I'll pick on somebody else. Do you realize, Mindy, that They only had one church in a town back then. It was called a synagogue. And the ruler of that synagogue was considered the one who was worthy. Now watch how this ties in with what God just showed you here. He said, go to the one who's asked who's worthy. And go to that man. And say, peace of the Lord be with you. And if you receive your peace, you stay there. And you teach and you sup. And you don't go from house to house, you stay there. But what did he say? If he does it, and you see that put a blessing on the whole town. Huh? He said, but if he doesn't receive your peace, you take your peace back. Knock the dust off your feet and leave. And it'd be tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it would be for that town. You see, that man in that synagogue had the ability to bring blessings or cursings on the whole town. Now, God showed me that today it's the church. You see, we got all kinds of churches. And thank God that God is better than I am. Thank God that he's got more grace than I do and more mercy, and he's definitely smarter by quite a bit. Although I have to admit there are times when I won't even go there. But he's quite smarter. Quite. Amen. In fact, my intelligence next to his is about that of an amoeba next to me. And that's giving me a lot of credit. You gotta love him. See, you gotta be off track now. That's all right. Gotta blame somebody. Yeah, he's got this grace, you see. So what it is this. He doesn't allow that church to put its curse, if it's cursed, on the town. Amen? But that one man in that church that's the pastor of that church can bless or curse the whole church. See? So now the word of God, it would apply as this. When you go in a town, you ask who's worthy. It means you go to the church and ask who's worthy. And if that person that's the pastor, the head of that church, receives you, let your peace remain. And if he doesn't receive you, take your peace back. It's going to stink to be that church. You see? Now, does that mean any Christian? No. He was talking to the apostles, wasn't he? He was talking to the apostles, the watchmen. All right? Now watch this. If the watchman comes to a town and he's not received by those that are worthy, then God will take it away from the churches and give it to the people in the town. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God is extending grace. He's extending grace. Because he wants the people out here to understand his love and to know that he wants to share himself with them. To give them the power, health, deliverance, and everything else. Strike up a song for me, son. He reigns with judgment. He reigns with judgment and power. And there's a change coming in this world. There's a change coming. There's a change coming out here where God is going to say, it's enough. It's enough. No longer are people going to be kept under bondage. I'm not talking about the bondage the churches talk about. Y'all sit down. You know, the churches talk about bondage, and they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what bondage is. Now, you've heard me preach over and over and over and over and over again about the parable of the seed and the sower. And I'm going to keep doing that because I'm a weed whacker. There are people, I remember years ago, Colleen Sankey. You remember me talking about Colleen Sankey back in the 70s? Joe and Colleen Sankey. Joe was a beautiful man in the Lord. Wonderful man of the Lord. Loved God with all his heart and was a great preacher. Great preacher. But you know what? They told him he couldn't preach because he smoked cigarettes. So his wife allowed him to help her, and she did all the preaching. See, she didn't smoke, so she could preach. Now here's a man who loved God with all his heart, soul, strength, mind, and body, believed on Jesus Christ, and was dying in a field of thorns because somebody told him he wasn't worthy to tell about Jesus Christ because he smoked cigarettes. That is the most stupid, ridiculous thing I ever heard of. I got news for you folks out there. Jesus Christ is more powerful than a pack of cigarettes. And he could care less whether you smoke. In fact, you smoke a cigarette, you come on up here after the meeting, I'll smoke one with you. Amen? Jesus doesn't care whether you smoke a cigarette. He doesn't care if you have a glass of wine. He drank wine. He doesn't want you to get drunk. Amen? He wants your mind clear, but he doesn't mind if you have a glass of wine. But these people out here, Satan wants to build you up with so many cares and fears and worries that you can't produce fruit. And if I had had the knowledge back then, oh God, I could have gone up to Joe Sankey and said, look, Joe, you've got just as much power by faith in Jesus Christ as anybody else. All you've got to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. This thing is going to die. This is the old man. This one's left in the desert. This one can't cross over. It can't cross over. It's the new man that's crossing over. And until we get that new man, we're hid in Christ. So because I'm hid in Christ, what's the word say? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. You see? So when I stand before sickness, sickness doesn't see this body. Sickness sees Jesus. Paul, sitting up there on the radio, probably bouncing a little bit, last night, was telling somebody, telling you, I think it was, how he was healed, right? Years ago, how when he was sitting in there, he had this arthritis that was eating his body up and hurting him and everything, and he couldn't walk right. And I looked at him and said, what's your problem? He told me, and I just reached down and smacked his knee and said, you're healed in Jesus' name. And he was totally healed. And he was sharing that last night with you, wasn't he? And turned around and hit Dan on the knee. And Dan said, you know, that's my bad knee. That knee's been hurting me, and it really hurts all the time. And Paul, without thinking, just reached over, tapped him again. Did he tap him again? Reached over, tapped him again, said, you're healed in Jesus' name. And Dan was healed. That happened by Paul sitting out there under the canopy. He wasn't even in the tent, Ricky. Oh, man. He didn't have a gallon of oil. Wow. Huh? Amazing. He just forgot himself for a minute. Amen. He forgot himself for a minute and remembered Jesus. Amen. What have I been trying to tell you? Three things. Three things. Take God serious. Don't take yourself serious. Don't take yourself serious, Jeff. You take yourself serious, then you fall down, and then you're all upset. Take God serious. Amen? And believe His Word. That's all you got to do. Sing me another song, boy. We're sounding an alarm. We're sounding the alarm to those that want to stay back in the desert can stay back in the desert. The rest of us are crossing the River Jordan, and we're going to leave that old man and those who want to stay back there. Amen? We're tired of sickness. We're tired of poverty. We're tired of depression. Huh? We're tired of worry. Tired of fear. We're not having it anymore. Not putting up with it anymore.
Amen.
Not putting up with infirmity. I declare infirmities barred from this tent. Barred. No infirmity is permitted in this tent. It's not allowed. By the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. I bar depression from this tent. People are going to walk in this tent, and depression's going to lift off. They're going to wonder what happened to them. I bar it. It's not allowed in here anymore. I rebuke it. Amen. No sickness. No disease. No demon. This is God's tabernacle. This is His tabernacle. And it's filled with His glory. Not my glory. Not Steve's glory. Thank God for that. God's glory. Dedicated to Him. Filled with love, power, a sound mind. You know, when I found out what God's love was, when I found out that God's love was that He accepted me just the way I am, I didn't have a change of thing. I came to the Lord. I was a drug addict. A drunkard. I had chronic bronchitis, ulcers, colitis. And I was eat up with the dummies and stupid. God took away the drunkenness. He took away the drunkenness. He didn't say I couldn't have a drink. He took away the drunkenness. Anybody understand what I'm saying? He didn't say I couldn't have a drink. He took away the drunkenness. He took away the drug. I didn't ask Him to. Didn't tell Him to. Didn't even know I had to. Didn't have to. Just didn't want it anymore. Amen. He took away the ulcers and the colitis. Took it away. Got rid of it. The chronic bronchitis. Took it away. Got rid of it. Never said I had to change a thing. That's God's love. Now, a bunch of Christians tried to tell me I had to change things. They said I had to stop doing this and stop doing that and stop doing the other thing. But God didn't. I want to tell you something, Steve. Because God doesn't, don't you do it. If I ever catch you doing it, I'm going to take a stick to you. Everybody say praise God.
Praise God.
If don't you do it either, I'll take two sticks to you. Amen? Don't you do it either, John. I'll take a bat to you. Because you are a stick. I feel good. God is great. I've broken through. Not going back. Enjoy it. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the knowledge that He accepts you just like you are. He doesn't even care if you're divorced. Isn't that great? Some church down there might care if you're divorced, but God doesn't. Jesus is greater than divorce. He's greater than that. He was greater than Jeff's heroin addiction and delivered him completely. I never told you you had to give up heroin, did I? I just told you God loved you, didn't I? That's all I told you. When he believed that, God took the heroin without withdrawal. Ricky Ball was not here right now. He came to the Lord. He said, what do I have to give up? He was a drunkard, drug addict, ran around with women. He said, what do I have to give up? I said, nothing. He said, you mean I can smoke my dope? I said, yeah. I can smoke my cigarettes? Yeah. I can drink my beer? I said, yeah, you can drink your beer. He said, I can run around with women? I said, yeah, you can do that. God's bigger than that. He said, well, I'm going to accept this Jesus. And he did, and guess what? God took away the stuff he didn't want and let Ricky have the stuff he didn't care about. God took away the women. Ricky didn't. God took away the drugs. Ricky didn't. God took away the drunkenness. Ricky didn't. Don't you understand, church? That's what it's all about. That's what the power and the love and the freedom of God is all about. Is to love people as if God were standing there himself and accept them the way they are and let God worry about anything that has to be changed. He's bigger than we are. That's why Paul said in the Word. Paul said it in the Word. That I am persuaded. That there is nothing. And I'm paraphrasing. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing can separate you, Jeff. Miss B, there ain't nothing that can separate you. Scott, there ain't nothing that can separate you. And I don't know your name, but there's nothing that can separate you from God. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. That's the kind of God he is. He's better than we are. He's bigger than we are. He created us. He knows what we're made of. That's why he's got a new one for us. Praise the Lord. Say it. We're blowing a trumpet. Fear and worry. Mental anguish. Depression. Sickness. Oppression. Out of here. It's bound. Let the love of God work. Like Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, like unto a woman. Like unto a woman that took a little leaven. Just a little bit of leaven. Huh? And hid it. In three measures of meal. And soon the whole lump is leavened. See this lump? This is a lump. Looks lumpy too, doesn't it? the lump. God took a little bit of himself and put it in here. And it's still growing. I'm still being leavened. Somebody said, Richard, you sure eat a lot. I only eat one meal a day. I can't help it if it's all day. Truthfully, I eat about one meal a day. Sometimes a snack here or there. This is mercy. Bowels of mercy. So the Bible calls it. Some people call it fat, but I'd rather call it bowels of mercy. Amen? Just let Jesus do his job. Let's enjoy our Father. Just love him.